This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the entire program today as we have another beautiful song for you and wind down this week's installments in our verse-by-verse study of the Book of Acts as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, of course, this series will continue on Monday through Friday for many weeks to come. So I hope that you can tune in every time that you can. Right now, let's hear Ring the Bells of Heaven, and then Dr. Green.
Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud heart rings. 'Tis the ransomed army like the mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free. Ring the bells of heaven, there is joy today for a soul returning from the wild. See the Father meets him out upon the way, welcoming his weary, wandering child. Glory, glory, how the angels sing. Glory, glory, how the loud harps ring. 'Tis the ransomed army like the mighty sea, pealing forth the anthem of the free.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our Father, as we open thy word to study today. Speak to my heart. Speak through these lips of clay to those who wait in the great unseen radio audience. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the last broadcast, I read down through Acts 8 and verse 4. Now, today I'm reading verse 5 and following, Acts 8, 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, in verse 4, they were scattered. And Philip went to Samaria, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and were lame were healed. Now I read verses 5 through 8. I want to read verse 5 again. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, notice, we do not have any record here of what Philip said. We do not have his message outlined, or we do not have the text or the words that he uttered. Now, on the day of Pentecost, we have the record of what Peter preached, and of course, we have just studied chapter 7, and we have the full text of the message that Stephen delivered, that cost him his life. He was martyred because of the message he delivered. But here we simply read that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, there is something significant about that to me. Maybe not to you, but to me there is something very significant, and I want to show you what I believe the Holy Spirit would have us see in that simple statement in that verse of Scripture. Who is Christ? Now, Philip didn't preach the goddess Diana as the Ephesians worshipped and believed in. And he didn't preach one of the unknown gods that Mars Hill down in Greece as they believed in. That is, they had an altar to every god and then they put up one to the unknown god, Paul tells us. Now, Philip didn't preach concerning the Baptists or the Methodists or Presbyterians or the Pentecostals. Well, you say, preacher, they didn't have those denominations back then. Well, they had the scribes, had the Pharisees, and they had others. Now, Philip preached Christ, all right? If Philip took a text on Christ, and if he preached Christ, then who did he preach, what did he preach, and what was the message? Now, we know that in the beginning, God, and in the beginning, Christ. Now, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Christ had no beginning. That name is the deity. That is the name of deity. Jesus is his earthly name. Now, Joseph was instructed to name the baby Jesus, and the reason the angel made clear, he'll save his people from their sins. But Christ was in the beginning with the Father, and the name Christ is deity. The name Jesus is his earthly name. You remember in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man. It doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus. He was God's Christ. He became man's Jesus. Now he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Again, he has all the glory, all the honor and position that he had with the Father in the beginning. So again, he is God's Christ, seated at the right hand of God, but he is man's Jesus. Now, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty to make intercession for men. God's Christ became man's Jesus. He laid aside his glory. Now, that doesn't mean that he was demoted in his eternal estate. Not at all. It just means that Jesus took a body of humiliation. Now, God's Christ humbled himself, and he became man's Jesus, and he paid the sin debt in that body. Then he returned to the Father, God's Christ, and he sits there as man's mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. He is our mediator, Jesus Christ the man. But he is also God's Christ, God's eternal Son. All right. Now then, when I preach Christ, I preach the virgin birth. I preach the deity. I preach the incarnation. I preach that Christ was very God, yet he was very man. I preach that he was in the beginning with the Father, but he took a body of flesh, and in that body, he came into the world to pay the sin debt and to make it possible for us to be saved. Now, when I preach Christ, I preach all of this. Now, let me show you what I'm trying to get across to you. When anyone who is a minister of the gospel, if he's God's minister, God called him, God anointed him, God commissioned him, and God sent him, if he's God's preacher. And the message of God's preacher is Christ. And the place we find the message is in the Bible. Now, when I preach Christ, I must declare that he was born of the virgin. Because if he wasn't born of the virgin, he was not God's Christ. He was an illegitimate child. But if he was God's Christ, he was born of the Virgin, and if he was born of the Virgin, as the Bible teaches, he was God's Christ because the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived and brought forth God's Christ. So I preach the virgin birth. Now, some of the outstanding religionists, and please note, I said religionists, not Christians, not believers, not born-again ministers, but some of the outstanding religionists declare that it is not necessary to believe in the virgin birth to be saved. I want to say emphatically and without apology, it is an absolute necessity to believe that Jesus was virgin born, to believe in his deity, to believe in his incarnation, to believe that he was very God, yea, God in flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:19 declares that God was in Christ, and he was yet very man. All right. Then when I preach Christ, I not only preach his virgin birth, I not only preach his deity, his incarnation, but I preach that God, the eternal Father, set forth the Son that he might be a propitiation for sin, that God might be just and yet justify the ungodly. Let me say this to you. Now, this is deep, and it's certainly beyond my comprehension, but it's a fact. And even though I can't understand it, and I cannot comprehend, I know it's true because the Bible teaches it. Beloved, God cannot acquit the wicked. Now that's in Nahum 1 and verse 2. God Almighty Jehovah cannot acquit the wicked. Now, in Christ, God can remain God and holy and righteous and pure, and yet justify a man that should burn in hell. Now, what do I mean by that? The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Adam didn't get away. Adam didn't get by with his sin. God said, Adam, you eat the fruit, you die. And he did. And God drove him out. Now, Cain didn't get by. Noah didn't get by. The people of Noah's day didn't get by. And of course, when Noah backslid and sinned, you remember after the flood when he got drunk, he didn't get away with that either. And Lot didn't get away with his sin. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. God thundered out, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And we've all sinned, according to the Bible. We've all sinned. But Jehovah laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And a little later in this message, I'll point out to you that Jesus took all the sins of all ages of all men, and he nailed those sins to his cross. And he paid the sin debt, and he satisfied the sin debt. And now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right. Now, in Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, God's righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of them which believeth, of him which believeth in Jesus. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, I not only preach the virgin birth when I preach Christ, but I preach that God, the Heavenly Father, the Eternal Father, God the Father, set forth the Son, and he was made like unto flesh. And in that body of flesh, he did what the law could not do because of the weakness of the flesh. Romans 8, 1, 2, and 3. And so, Christ means propitiation. Christ means redemption. Christ means forgiveness of sins. But why? Because God the Father wrought in Christ what God demanded, that we might be justified. And because Jesus took a body, and in that body he suffered, he bled, and he died, he satisfied God's holiness, God's righteousness, and the law, because he satisfied every minute detail of God's demand, God's command, then God can be just and justify the ungodly. When the ungodly man or woman trusts Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we call on Jesus because of the sacrifice Christ made, God can forgive, and God does forgive because of the shed blood and the finished work of his Son. Now, in Hebrews 2:17, we read a very important verse of Scripture. And here's what it says. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Let me read this verse again. It's extremely important. Wherefore? Wherefore? Now, well, of course, I should read, beginning with verse 9, Jesus was made lower than the angels to taste death for every man. Then we read in verse 16, he took not on himself the nature of angels. He was made lower than the angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore? In all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he, Jesus, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now, I pointed out a moment ago, and I hope you'll study it further, because I don't have time today to go into it. But in Nahum, the little book of Nahum in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 2, God cannot acquit the wicked. In other words, when a man sins, God can't overlook that sin. God Almighty, Jehovah, eternal God, he cannot acquit that man. But because Jesus took, in other words, we might say, well, the Bible spells it out. He was made in all things. He took a body like our body, except sin. He took a body of flesh just exactly like ours, except he never sinned. And in that body, Jesus lived the perfect man. He never sinned. He never sinned in any shape, form, or fashion. He never sinned. Therefore, he could offer the sacrifice for sin, and he laid his life down that we might have life, and only through his death do we live. Now, God, Jehovah, forgives us for Jesus' sake, Christ's sake. Read Ephesians 4 and verse 33. God forgives us for Christ's sake, because Christ, God's Christ, became man's Jesus. And as man's Jesus, he paid the sin debt. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended. He's seated at the right hand of the majesty. God's Christ, man's Jesus. And as the man, Christ Jesus, he makes intercession for you and for me. So Hebrews 2:17 is extremely important. Made in all things like unto his brethren. Well, in Hebrews 4:15 we read these words. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points, was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, do you believe that, Brother Green? I certainly do. I believe it. I believe every word of it. I believe every iota of the statement made there. Jesus was tempted. Therefore, he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He came here. He took a body like your body, and in that body he lived. And he was tempted and tested in every point, in every minute detail that men are tempted. And he overcame the world, the flesh, the devil. And he overcame temptation and sin. Therefore, he can feel our feeling when we're sin. And he makes a way to escape. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. He's the way of salvation. He's the way of victory. He's the way of assurance. Jesus is the way. He is the only way. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yes, yes, he faced every temptation that you've ever had to face or ever will have to face, and he conquered every temptation. Well, that's not all. When I preach Christ, I preach the virgin birth, the deity, the incarnation, very God, very man, set forth by God to be a propitiation for our sins, made in all things as we are, tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. But listen, this is solemn, and I read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. When I preach Christ, listen what I preach. When I preach Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 5:19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word, now notice, the word of reconciliation. Now, the Word of God is the only message that will bring salvation, redemption, reconciliation to a sinner. Now read this. Read it now. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God, for God hath made him, Christ, to be sin. God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus, in Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Praise God. What a Savior. But that's not all. Listen. When I preach Christ, I preach that God, the Father, made Christ sin. Now, let me make this clear. Every time I read that verse on the radio, I'm afraid somebody will misunderstand. I don't mean that Jesus committed sin or God forced him to commit sin. No, Jesus never sinned. He never committed any sin. But God made him sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made acceptable in Christ. Now listen to this. Not only did God make or made, not only was he made sin for us, but listen to this. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse. Being made a curse. Made sin, made a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, I just must read this scripture. When I preach Christ, when I preach the Lord Jesus Christ, I preach that he took my sin, he bare my sin, he nailed my sin to his cross, and he did it willingly. 1 Peter 1:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self, Christ his own self, bare our sins in his own body. Christ bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Praise God. Now I must hurry because time is running out. When I preach Christ, I preach that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he sits at the right hand of the Majesty, making intercession for me, for you, for all who will believe. And when I preach Christ, I preach that he is our sufficiency. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ, not after Christ. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. So we are complete in Christ. Philip preached Christ. Philip preached Christ. He preached the virgin birth, the deity, the incarnation, very God, very man, set forth by God to be a propitiation for our sins. Christ made in all things as we are, that he might be a faithful high priest. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. God made Christ sin, made Christ a curse, that we might be made righteousness, that we might be made acceptable in the Beloved. He bare our sins in his own body. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to our Scriptures. And in Christ we find our sufficiency. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, I beg you to do it right now. Bow your head and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll save you. Father, honor thy precious word, the precious blood, the precious name of Jesus, and save every soul that is lost. O God, convict, convince, and save every soul, especially that soul that's nearest hell, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and if you've been listening to the program this week, you know that I am telling you about our Gospel Hour wall calendar. And I know many of you have ordered the calendar already, and I know many of you gave them as Christmas presents, which are very, very nice presents to give to others, but there are still many of you who have not ordered our calendar yet, and I know that you could use this beautiful wall calendar of scenes of America, beautiful pictures of America in each month. Of course, it is a wall calendar, so it folds down, it hangs on the wall, and in the top, there's a scene from America for each different month. And in the bottom, there are all the days of the month in blocks so that you have room to write your appointments or anything else you need to write down in those blocks so that you remember them. Now, I would love for you to have this calendar, and all you need to do is ask for it by name, our Gospel Hour wall calendar, and I ask that you send a donation of at least $10 when you order our calendar. Pray about it, ask the Lord, and do as He directs. And if you can send more, if you can send $15, $20, $25, $100, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I hope that you will do so, because, of course, the Gospel Hour is only here through your prayers, number one, and your donations. We are not underwritten by any group or church or other people. We depend on your free will donations to stay on the air and to keep printing the books and the CDs that we have. So keep that in mind when you order the calendar, and any extra you can send will be most appreciated. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get my new calendar, I like to jump ahead and see what my birthday month is, and mine is in March. And so I looked at it. It's a beautiful picture with looks springy, with yellow flowers and craggy mountains up in the sky and some cacti. And the scripture for the entire month is a wonderful scripture from Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. What a wonderful verse to take with you, not only for the month, but for the entire year. And of course, each week in the month has another scripture to guide you through the week. So all in all, it's a great calendar. So to get yours, just ask for the calendar and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.